All right, I apologize, thank you.
Not a problem. I will call the meeting to order. And if I can get a motion to approve the minutes?
I'll make that motion.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye?
Aye.
Okay. Very good. Well, tonight we have joining us Karen, is it Gorslin or? How do you?
Winkler Gorslin.
Gorslin, okay. All right, Winkler Gorslin.
Gorslin, yes.
Okay, very good. To discuss immediate housing options and actions for Ulster County. So the floor is yours.
All right. Well, I just want to first say thank you for the opportunity to speak with you tonight and for your time during this crazy period. And I did just put a one-page explanation that just gives a bullet point of the ideas that I shared. So I will just mention the Homeowners Association idea or concept as a type of emergency housing solution that we might be able to use now. There is an emergency shelter contract that I would like to become a vendor with through the Department of Social Services and provide community-based housing in a safe environment for people that are currently being housed at the hotels. I would like to build it up as a homeowners association because then it would solidify permanent residents that are available that can grow after the idea is established to do so. There's also ADUs or accessory dwelling units that can be added now that's immediate by using the rooms for rent and then adding detached and attached dwellings that can be separate units that would allow people to then keep their benefits and remain in a household and not be mixed together. So there's the permanent and the immediate solutions that I have, and I would really like to answer any questions in reference to them. I was never able to put a contract together because they needed 20 to 40 units in order for me to propose a contract, and no landlord's going to leave their places empty. It's too fluid, and there's too much time in between without income.
Laura?
So, Karen, do you have an idea, oh, somebody's playing outside now, do you have an idea of what, I mean, what this shortage looks like? I mean, of course, we don't know what it's going to look like in another month or two when they start lifting the deferments for rent payments. But, I mean, obviously there's a shortage now. You know, could you kind of give us some more information on how bad that looks and why you've kind of come to us with a you know, out of the box idea, which I think is, we should be looking at, honestly, because again, we don't know what we're in store for in the next month or two, certainly over the next couple of years.
Yes. I think there'll be a shifting of places as people get evicted. There'll be empty spaces and others will come in. I think people will be more amenable to subsidies and programs that guarantee them rent. However, there's waiting lists at the Housing Authority for 3 years at the Brigham, which is a senior housing. I know with the Section 8 housing list, there's at least 1,200 on the waiting list. The waiting lists are only open for few times a year where you can even get on them, and the rents are high and they're not affordable, so they're staying where they are or they're doubling up in place. I don't have numbers always grow, but I hope that answers your question. There's a need for property management for people with disabilities and people with disadvantages. So my program, the Olmsted Housing Subsidy, we will pay their rent, but they, people with disabilities cannot shovel their snow or their, you know, make the housing safe. They just get the rent paid. So there's a need for people to be able to learn and grow in property management and create traditional trades. And we can do this if there's a plethora of properties that are in need of that and that are in this like kind of organization. And it'll help.
Trend, you know, as you know, people have lost their jobs and they have mortgages that they may be looking to do house shares and
And the Airbnb has allowed people to continue paying their mortgage, so they have the short-term rentals that supplement their income, and it'll help also with those wanting to become homeowners. They can buy multifamilies and rent the other units out. So I'm involved with the Veterans Agency, the Veterans Administration. I got into contract with them to provide services at the beginning of the year. I am with the NHTD program, which is seven counties. I am licensed in the state of New York, and my minority business enterprise is certified for home property real estate asset management and to homemaker services for elderly and disability persons, and then wholesale durable medical equipment and furniture. I do cleanouts. I did cleanouts for the Ulster County Department of Finance. So there's furniture that we can use when estates go away and store, and for people with homeless, they're going to need a whole household of furniture. Some can't afford storage. So it'd be in phases. So we'd have to just work on just the contract and getting the rules in place and learning from experience, then go to phase two with an official association so that we can have rules that are in place. And then a phase three with the ADUs and permanent housing.
Okay. So, anybody else have questions? Let me see. Yeah. So you can't really anticipate, right, as of now, what a potential influx of people looking for housing will be, right? It's kind of as it happens, correct? Rents are no longer being subsidized, or at least that there's a hold that people don't have to pay. And so, how many units are out there now that you would be able to provide for?
With the expansion of those code or zoning policies that might be able to expand, we can use existing infrastructure to create more housing now. The Olmsted Housing Subsidy would bring state money to our county that would lift our economy. And the current emergency housing is now going to Greene County and Orange County to house people because our hotels are full. The numbers are all, when I put a for rent sign out for my property, I get about 19 calls, 19 to 20 calls in 2 days.
Yeah, that's pretty overwhelming. And I had made a comment, it was probably our last meeting, is that people are going to recover from the virus a lot quicker than the economy is going to recover. So, you know, with that in mind, you know, this you don't really know. Like it could be really bad out there, and to anticipate that, I think it's kind of scary. So, you know, I think what you're doing is it's a good thing, and hopefully, you know, perhaps we can, the funding will come down at the state. Maybe, is there anything federal that you anticipate that could help as well? Or are you looking mostly to state?
I am trying to make this a self-funded program by contracting with DSS, because the additional funds that are included with those rents would allow me to pay a homeowner more than they would get with a traditional rental, and help the person with self-sufficiency by forming an action plan with them and having them progress and reporting on that. So if they need to stay in their community for school or work, they can do that. If they need to find a job, they have a phone. They're currently using hotel room numbers. And it's difficult in a hotel to not be a red flag for an employer. So I'm thinking, using the funding that is in the contract, I wouldn't need to ask for any funding. I would just want endorsement to work with this fiscal management company to do the contract and then build on it.
Okay. Now, do you know? Go ahead, Pete.
Yeah, just a quick question. I was just curious if you had any conversations with RUPCO about this idea.
I did not, because I sat on the board for RUPCO for 5 years, and they do not handle the emergency shelter. They handle the Section 8. So I did talk to them about landlords and relationships with landlords and what Section 8 does as far as damaging the landlord relationships when they're not good tenants. And they took the view that the landlord is in the business. This is a business for the landlord. And I also approached them about tenant education and how to be good neighbors and how to respect property. And I never got a program to do that through them, though I respect them. I just feel that people need training and they need to be able to appreciate their community.
Thank you.
Isn't the eviction process difficult and long in order to actually evict somebody? You know, because I've heard from a number of people, landlords as well, I've gotten calls over the past year saying that the process is so difficult that, you know, judges often side on or with the tenant and not necessarily the landlord, especially if they can prove some sort of hardship at the time that they can't actually displace them. Is that true?
That's very true. I have Legal Shield that I can call an attorney at any time and they'll answer my legal questions and walk me through the whole process. With my program, they would be temporary tenants and they would be licensed to use the space. So they wouldn't have a lease in order to be evicted. They would have an agreement that would give them 10 days to leave. I'd have 10 days to have them out. It's not a lease. And I'd have them sign every other week, so it's within the 30 days. Because after 30 days, they become a resident. So I'd have them sign every time I got the DSS payment, for they would have to renew their stay every 2 weeks.
And out of the inquiries that you're getting, are there a large number of people with disabilities that are displaced that are looking for housing?
I would also work with families and individuals as long as they are not a threat to my homeowner. And yes, there are. I do believe that there are people with disabilities, physical and mental, that are homeless.
Okay. And would these, and I'm sure it would be difficult to make the proper changes or the renovations in order to make these units accessible, especially if somebody has a physical disability, ramp-wise or wheelchair accessible, accessible showers, like all those things you have to take into consideration as well. It would make it more difficult, especially if you're looking for the funding to do so.
We do have a Giles Malkine.
Giles is great. Yeah.
He is. And he finds tax deductions and tax credits if you want to do that. There are just grab bars by the toilet and bathroom and the shower that can be done without really changing the structure of the home. Sure. There is portable ramps. So I was the EMOD provider for the nursing home transition diversion program, which we only did EMODs. So there are difficulties with accessibility, but we need more. We need more of them, and we need more education, even in the real estate field. There's no training to help people with a disability get into homes. So our facilities are overrun for that. They just can't find space that accommodates.
Right. Now, how active is ARCAL? Are you working with them as well? I know that you do work with ARCAL, right?
I do. I just got hired with ARCAL this year. And I am the Ulster County Housing Specialist. However, I was told that I'm the Lower Hudson Valley specialist. So I deal in Dutchess also and other counties.
Sure.
And I had to start 48 clients, and I'm told there's another 30 on my caseload that are waiting to transition into housing.
Wow. Okay. All right. Are there any other?
Can I ask? Sure. I have two questions. Can you say more about how it's self-funded, or how that works? And then I'm also curious, similar to the question Legislator Criswell asked about RUPCO, I'm curious if you've spoken to Family of Woodstock, which I think does administer the emergency housing.
So the self-funding, the contract pays Family of Woodstock $130 a night. So the Family of Woodstock for a family of nine received $40,000 in 2 weeks. So my program, I would only ask for $50 to $75 per night. That would give me an average about $1,500 per person per month. And that's enough to pay the landlord and get them started in some kind of self-sufficiency goal. Family of Woodstock, I've mentioned in the past, it's very hard to work with nonprofits. I've been on the board for Kingston Housing Authority trying to get education to the tenants, and they're finally looking at it, and it's been a year that I've been on that board. So I did go to the Department of Social Services and speak to them about this and about 4 years ago. And I did, I was able to, Mike Iaposi said if I can get the legal kinks worked out, he would contract with me and to talk to his people. And that was the end of the conversations, because I submitted it with the legal kinks worked out and I didn't get an answer, and I submitted it twice. So I'm not believing that I do need Family of Woodstock. They are actually looking for landlords themselves. I'm a licensed real estate broker and I do property management. So I'd be able to contract with them myself, and now with the help of a fiscal management for the income. Did I answer your question?
Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Anybody else? Anything else? No? Okay. All righty. Well, oh, wait. Oh, Pete, I don't think you're. Are you trying to say something? You were muted. Oh, no. Okay. All right. Very good. Well, thank you for joining us tonight. And I appreciate the information.
I thank you. And have a good evening, everybody. Thank you for your time.
Okay. You as well.
Thank you.
Good night.
All righty. Very good. Should we go? Should we move on? Go into resolutions? We will start with resolution 195. That's approving the execution of a contract amendment in excess of $50,000 with Gateway Community Industries for an increased amount of funding from OMH, OASIS, and OPWDD.
I'll move that for discussion.
Second, I think that was...
Okay.
Laura, second. All right, discussion. This was, I think it was, $197,179 and like 4% county, the rest 96% state.
There's about 9 programs that go with this contract.
This is for the substance abuse or OASIS and stuff, right?
It's supportive housing contract, treatment, apartments, vocational rehab, certified work activity, sheltered workshop, comprehensive recovery oriented services with a clinic, non-Medicaid care coordination. There's business a few services. Programs. So.
Business services, I think, is.
How much of an increase is this from last year?
It's a $197,000 increase. It's the same term. They're just adding pass-through money. OASIS is basically adding money. This isn't adding, the prior contract was from, it was for this year, 1-1 of 20 to 12-31 of 20. We're not adding time here. We're going and adding, it was a $2.5 million contract previously. And OASIS is adding $197,000 to the contract.
Right, it's past $3. It's not in addition. It's
right.
Okay, just wanted to be clear on that.
Yep.
I'm just the reason I'm bringing that up is as much as I support this, given our circumstances throughout the county, throughout the state, after COVID, I think we have to look at everything very carefully.
I agree.
Where our monies are going, and let's face it, we're all going to have to make some really difficult cuts. And I just want to make sure that we're going to make the right cuts in the right places. That's why I'm asking if this is an increase or what this is about exactly.
Not an increase in county costs, an increase in state.
Not that they're in any better shape than we are.
I hear you. They've committed to it, though.
Yeah, they committed to it. I'm okay with that.
All right. Laura?
Mark, Al made a good point because the contract is with the county. What do we do if the state all of a sudden doesn't ante up the money? Or is it already there and available?
It's a pass-through. Go ahead, Craig, sorry.
No, it's already budgeted. It's already
right. So, the state's already guaranteed. I mean, if they came in and said they weren't going to reimburse us, we wouldn't spend the money. If this was part of the, cuts that's coming down from these tranches, then we would just reduce this contract. We wouldn't spend the full amount.
Okay.
Anything else? All in favor?
Aye.
Resolution 196, approving the execution of a contract amendment in excess of $50,000 entered into by the county with the trustees of Columbia University for an increased funding from the Healing Communities Grant. Move for discussion.
I'll move it.
Laura.
A second.
All right, discussion. You're familiar with the Healing Communities Grant, correct, everybody?
This is our year two. This is funding year two of the study.
Yeah. Year two, and it's a 3-year study, right? If I remember correctly. It was, a $2.5 million grant for a 3-year study.
Are we going to take into consideration I mean, the opioid deaths and use are on the rise, but I mean, these are, it's a COVID epidemic, so I'm sure part of that is, you know, the way people in need are coping. Are we going to take that into consideration when we look at the overall county needs?
I would assume so, because it's in real time. So it would, I would assume they would take into consideration as things are happening. Mark, you would agree, correct?
Yeah, they're definitely, I mean, they're looking at things as we go, and the working group, which is somewhere between 50 and 70 people, is helping make decisions, like Craig said, in real time on the different
circumstances. Yeah. Okay, anything else? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. We'll move on to resolution 197, approving the execution of the contract amendment. Closing the aggregate contract.
Craig,
yes.
Craig, if I can interrupt you just for a second.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Eve was trying to ask a question before you.
Oh, was she? Okay.
But she was muted.
Is she muted? All right.
Well, I wasn't called on.
Was it at? Yeah, I didn't.
That's okay. I just
Just chime in, because I can't see everybody at once. So
it's fine. It's not a big deal. I'm part of the HEAL working group. So if you had any questions, I could happily answer as well. Just wanted to say that.
That's good to know.
Okay. Laura, question answered?
Yeah, no.
Okay, you're good. Want to move on?
Could Eve update us on what the committee's doing? I had looked at some minutes, but I mean, you've obviously been meeting, and I don't know if there's any new programs out. We have a wonderful person out in New Paltz, Phoenix, who is really on top of opioid use and mental health issues, you know, and opens it up to the community, so they have all these avenues and resources, and she's been concerned that there's an increase.
So if you want to put me on the next month's agenda to talk about what's going on, I'd be happy to have something prepared for you.
Think that's a great idea. Okay, very good. We will do that. Are you good with that, Laura? Everything?
Absolutely, thank you.
Okay, cool. All right, very good. All right, we'll move on to resolution 197 then. So approving the execution of a contract amendment, causing the aggregate contract amount to be in excess of $50,000 with James McGinnis and Associates. Move for discussion.
I'll move it.
I'll second.
All right, discussion. Anything?
Would it be possible for just to have an overview of this from Deputy Executive Ryder? I would like the kind of elevator pitch for what's going on here.
Well, this, you want to start? Okay, go ahead, Mark.
Go ahead, Craig.
I don't know. I was just going to say that it extends the term of agreement, increases funding for software maintenance, right? Is that's this contract?
Yes.
Yeah. And, it's for the preschool program, but if you want to elaborate on the actual program, you can, Mark.
Yeah, so it's a contract that we use for preschool intervention, which is mainly driven by the state. We actually don't have a lot of say in who we give the services to or who we use as providers. This contract itself, or the software itself, is used a lot for payroll of paying the providers. It's entering the system to track account for children, which is something that's required by the state. It enters the evaluations, has vouchers, they provide maintenance and fiscal reporting. So it's just revolving around, it's what our preschool unit uses to track and pay the vendors used for preschool intervention.
And it's not, we don't have, when you say it's, you know, a state program, we don't have much autonomy in procurement?
No.
Okay, because I just, you know, for me, I look at a contract increase for software. Well, I look at something that has dates going back to 2011, and you know, I don't use any software today from 2011. And here we are paying an increase for software from 2011.
I hear you. It's a yearly maintenance contract. I don't know if I'd say
right, and it is worth acknowledging that the yearly costs are how software gets updated so that it doesn't act like software from 2011, and that's not work that, you know, software is like a garden that needs to be tended to. It's not a house that you just build and leave behind. So I understand that.
And I find it interesting that it's that kind of money for, and not belittling preschool, but for such a small segment. I get it, Abe. I see where you're coming from. You look at the technology back in 2011, it was, you know, $100,000 for, you know what I mean, for a handful of kids that are in preschool. Right now, we got kids in that aren't graduating from high school because of what's going on in our world.
I have to say, I had the same impression. I thought, wow, it's like glorified QuickBooks or something, you know? It's a lot of money to spend for tracking. If that's what you're doing, you're saying you're tracking payments, you're tracking vendors. That's a lot of money to spend on tracking payments and vendors.
Honestly, I think it's one of these things that we pay for, but that we don't really have much say in determining who the software is used, because each county is using the same software for these.
Does this go out to some sort of a bid that this particular company bid on it and got the low bidder? I mean, how did this? Granted, I'm a new legislator, so I wasn't around 5 years ago when this happened. So I'm curious as to how they picked this particular company and their pricing.
Yeah, I wasn't around when this company was picked, but professional services, my guess was, it was done in 2010, like it was pointed out. You know, through our procurement manual, we require that to be some kind of RFP. But again, I believe I can go look at the original contract, but I believe the state had a lot of say in kind of how this was chosen.
All right.
It'd be great to see if we're able to put this out to bid again next year, just to get some comparison.
We'll take a look at that.
Yeah, I think we need to look at that closely, because, you know, 2010, it's 10 years old. We're accepting their increases in spending almost carte blanche. Like, you know, they can put any number they wanted on there, and we're pretty much, I don't want to say held hostage by them, but that's what it kind of seems like.
Fair enough.
All right. Any other discussion? All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
A reluctant aye? I heard a reluctant aye there. Okay. All right. Resolution, what are we at? 207? Authorizing the chair of the legislature to execute a contract with New York State Department of Health to continue the drinking water enhancement program. Move for discussion.
I'll move that.
I'll second.
Second discussion.
Can
Mark? Go ahead.
No, you were reading my mind. You're awesome. Thank you.
This is how we fund a lot of our environmental health physicians, the ones who go out and do reviews and regulate water systems. So the State Department of Health gives us a grant. This is a 5-year grant for the million. So it's between now and 2025. And it helps us offset some of those staff positions.
So if this, given what's going on, again, I know I sound like a broken record here, but given what's going on, if the state decides that they're not going to fund that, what happens? Are we on the hook for them?
Well, so this is offsetting. We're mandated to regulate these water systems, these public water systems. It's one of the Article 6 public health mandates. So this allows us, I think, a 35% reimbursement on these salaries. But yes, to your point, if the state decides that they're gonna, you know, no longer fund these reimbursements, we would likely have to pick up the additional costs because we don't have a choice but to regulate these.
Or would we be in a position where we would end up having to downsize the staff?
It's possible if we were able to do it within, you know, and still get the work done. It's something we'd have to evaluate.
Okay.
Yeah, if that was the case, you know, and the state couldn't provide funds on a number of programs, we'd be in a lot of trouble. But
honestly, I foresee that happening. That's why I keep asking these same kind of questions. And I don't mean, like I said, I don't mean to sound like a broken record, but
you're asking the same questions.
I mean, I see he's on here as well. I mean, everybody knows this. We're going to be in really financial straits. And I think we need to think these ways.
So would they in any way adjust their mandates?
Right. That's,
or would they keep the mandates the exact same and say, suck it up, county? Yeah.
Okay. Based on history, they'll probably say suck it up.
Yeah, county. Absolutely. I would agree with the latter. No. Yeah, they had. And you would think that if they were going to, then they would find less critical places to draw from, because if it's going to affect our water and our quality of water and potentially new problematic and regulatory requirements they're going to deny, that becomes a problem. So and there's plenty of programs out there that I would assume would take precedent over things that, could potentially be harmful or, affect the health of our county. But you never know. It's the state. So. Yeah. Oh, Laura, go ahead.
Thank you. We've had in the past resolutions that have created jobs that are grant funded. From what Deputy Ryder said, this is only 35%. But given that we've put a paragraph in there stating that this was a grant-funded job, so it wouldn't be a surprise to the person that's filling that position if the grant money dried up and they no longer had a position. Should we put that into this resolution as well, or wait for it to go through Ways and Means?
I don't know if you can see me, Craig. Do you mind if I just say something real quick?
Oh, yeah. No, was that the question was directed at you, correct?
Yeah, okay.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
I didn't know if it was a question that was directed to the whole group. For me, right. These are a different, I mean, this is not exactly a grant-funded position. The people in our environmental health division, they do a lot of this type of work, and they go around. Some of them in any given day will work on these water programs, and then also they have to clock their time to various different programs and various different state funding. I think this is different than saying it's a grant funded position. Yes, we get some reimbursements back through Article 6 of the state, but it's not exactly a grant. So I don't think that if it was like this was 100% position and we could say if this grant goes away, we could remove the position, I think that would work. This, each of these individuals work on maybe 6, 7, 8 state funded partially programs. And I don't think of this in the same level as a grant funded. We're going to have a resolution, maybe even the next one, where we're creating some healing grant-funded positions, that's where that kind of language belongs, not on a resolution like this.
Thank you.
Okay. Anything else? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Let's see, we are at
208,
amending the 2020 budget to accept healing community study funding and create positions.
I'll move it.
Move it.
I'll second it.
Second. Discussion.
Again, Mark, this is year two of this program.
Yes, year two. Project manager, data surveillance coordinator. These two positions were mandatory by the HEAL Communities grant, and this community engagement facilitator was one highly recommended. They had a few different community engagement facilitator and technical assistance specialists. They allowed us to put that position into two positions into one, but they really wanted us to have each of these various positions. And then part of the other money will go towards the interventions that we talked about, that Legislator Walter will come back and kind of talk about next month, but those are the different programs. They wanted us to spend some of the money towards staffing that will work with the Columbia group.
And this is one of those contracts where the positions will be removed when the funding is no longer available. Kind of what, you know, Laura was alluding to with grant-related funding. What happens when it's no longer there? And this is an example of a contract that does that.
Makes sense to me.
So should we put that language in this now? So when it gets kicked over to, to Ways and Means, it'll be in there already?
What, that the position will be removed when the funding is no longer there? Is it in the contract? It may be in the contract.
I don't know if I saw it. Because I've got two tablets going at once, it's really slowed down on me. I'm overloading the internet.
Let me see. Let me look real quick. I'll bring it up 1 second. Is anybody else looking here? It may take me a second.
I don't see it in the resolution.
You don't? Okay. All right. Yeah, if that's something that we could add, or we can bring it up in Ways and Means. Let me see. I thought I read that somewhere. I have to... look.
Oh, sorry. My bad. It is on page 3. Resolved. All positions created will be removed when funding is no longer available unless other state, federal, or funding is provided.
Okay. Yeah, I thought I had read that someplace. Very good. All right. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Resolution 209, amending the 2020 county budget to accept supplementary public health emergency preparedness funding for the State Department from the State Department of Health for COVID-19. Move it.
I'll second it for discussion.
Okay.
I'll move it or second it.
Yeah, this is in the amount of $15,000, and it'll cover Social Security, retirement, health insurance, this is in a couple parts, right? There's resolution 209 and 210, and it covers different time periods, right, Mark?
Correct. So this first one goes just from
3/5 to 9/4
through September 4th, 2020.
Yes.
And it's just a small, you know, I think it was part of the first passing of the CARES. And then the next resolution goes through a much longer period and is a much larger amount. This one's only for $15,000, but it's used to offset some of the employees that we've had to use directly toward COVID.
Sure.
You like it when you get an email that says, here, we're giving you $15,000 or $211,000. So.
Yeah, how do you say no?
You don't. It's yes.
Yeah,
All right. Very good. All in favor?
Aye.
Yes.
All right. Resolution 211. It's amending 2020 budget to accept allocation funds from the Rich Horowitz Foundation to support virtual family connectivity within the foster care program.
I'm sorry, did we vote on 210?
Yeah, you skipped 210.
Did we?
Oh, 210. Oh, that's right, because they were two separate. Yeah.
We're on 210. You need to do 210.
210, gotcha. Mm-hmm. All right, this is amending the 2020 budget to accept supplemental public health emergency preparedness funding from the State Department of Health for COVID-19.
I'll move that for discussion.
All right, second. All right, it's same as 209 for a different time period. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Now we'll move to 211. All right. This is amending 2020 budget to accept allocation of funds from the is that Redlich? How do they pronounce that?
I'm guessing.
Redlich.
Is it Red Lake or Red Lake? Okay. Yeah. Horowitz Foundation to support virtual family connectivity within the foster care program.
Cool idea.
All right, can move it.
I'll move
second.
That. I'll second.
Thank you.
So I had a question. Is this a match fund?
No, I think this was just this organization reaching out and again giving us
$20,000
in order to help some of our clients with virtual services.
Okay, thank you.
So it'll be used for the purchase of hardware for phones, etc.
Yeah, hardware, software, cell phones. Yeah, like it said in the title, it's for connectivity within families. So it's a good one. It's a good program too. So, any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Do they have any more money that they would like to fund us at this moment?
Yeah. We can always go back and ask.
We can always go back and ask.
Maybe we could get them to fund the family of Woodstock that's been on the table now for non-custodial parents and supervised visitation.
Actually, Mark, I had a question. Is there a grants management office in the Ulster County?
Ulster County does not have a singular grant management office. And so we don't have like a grant manager or, you know, various people in each department are skilled at going after grants and grant writing grant administration.
Got it. I just know the city of Kingston, once they established that office and really, you know, they've hit it hard and they've gotten some humongous grants, some really, really good grants. So I was just curious. I didn't know what the setup was in the county. So,
no, in the past, there has not ever been one.
Yeah, I thought for some reason under Mike, he had a grant writer. I don't know if they were on staff or just somebody in particular that they used. So. I may be mistaken. All right. Well, we will move on to. Oh wait. Oh yeah. We voted already. All right. Resolution 225 is calling on Westchester Medical Center and Health Alliance of the Hudson Valley to return inpatient mental health services to Ulster County and calling on the executive to reestablish mental health care as a county delivered service.
I'll move that.
Discussion.
All right. You got a second?
A second. I'm sorry.
There you go. All right.
If it's all right with the sponsors, I mean, I realize my name's on here as a committee member, but I'd like to have my name added.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think it's absolutely wonderful. Thank you. Eve has her hand up.
Okay. Yeah, sure, Eve.
Hi, thanks. So as the lead sponsor, I just wanted to just really reiterate, first of all, I really appreciate that the executive and Jen Metzger, the senator, has come up and publicly referenced the same thing. My dog is now biting my hand. And she was so quiet this whole time. So this is a big deal and on two levels, because there's kind of two things I'm asking for, Peter and I are asking for in this resolution. The first one is really joining the executive and the senator and trying to not only encourage Westchester Medical Center to bring back the inpatient mental health. And for those of you who don't know, it's not only inpatient for mental health, but they also have rehab and detox. And so we have no rehab or detox inpatient here in the county right now. And if someone shows up in our ER, they also have to be transported. And if there's no room in Poughkeepsie, they go down to Port Jervis or Valhalla, which then also consumes our EMS services. So they can't be responding to other kinds of emergencies. And so this is a big deal, but it also relates to the fact that the county privatized several years ago. This is why privatization is not a good idea, because this kind of thing can happen and we have absolutely no power to stop it. And I know that on the executive side and many other legislators have talked about how we need to really do something about the privatization. She's just fighting all of me now. I really would love to see representatives from the Department of Health and Mental Health here at this committee, at the next meeting or the meeting after, and to talk about how we can really start moving towards regaining some of these programs back in the county. We've enough talking about it. Let's start making a plan. And so those are the two elements.
Now,
First of all, Eve, I'd like to be put on as a sponsor if I could. I think this is paramount to the health of Ulster County right now. If somebody's having an issue and they have to be transported to Poughkeepsie or Valhalla or somewhere else, it not only does it place a confusing hardship on them, but their families. One of the key things with this is that they had the local support of their families when they're going through this hard time. And it's creating a situation where the families have to travel to where they're at as an inpatient or even as an outpatient. They have to do services to go down and back and forth to Poughkeepsie, and they don't have the means to do it. I think it's extremely short-sighted on whether it be Michael Doyle's, whoever made that final decision to do something like this. Ulster County is a huge, huge county in the land area, and to force the constituents residents to travel to another county is beyond my comprehension on why they would do that.
Yeah, I don't have evidence of this, but there is rumors that this was a plan all along by Westchester Medical Center. I have no idea if that's true, even before the COVID decision to move them out for the space. But, that's why this is calling on them. If they're not moving them back, they need to tell us they're not going to move them back. Don't keep that information so that we can actually figure out what we have to do.
I think it was pretty, honestly, I think it was kind of underhanded for Westchester Medical Center to use a crisis such as COVID, where we needed the extra beds, that turned out we didn't, as an excuse to pull them out of the county. I think, and especially when we realized that we didn't need those, they should have been brought back immediately. And what I also find interesting in this whole scenario is that, and I'm not saying, I'm not a conspiracy theorist here, but the interesting fact is Michael Doyle, who is now director of health for Health Alliance. It's interesting that he was the medical director at Vassar Brothers Medical Center in Poughkeepsie prior to coming to Kingston. And Vassar Brothers Medical Center in Poughkeepsie doesn't have it either. Doesn't have a mental health facility in there, including, at this point, their new patient pavilion. He was part of that. He comes to Kingston, and all of a sudden, the mental health facilities are going away there, too. They're going to another hospital. I just find that almost too ironic, to be honest with you.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, you know, to just underscore the issue with, you know, avoiding needless medical transportation between facilities. It's one of the most difficult bills to deal with when you get your medical bills after an emergency. And I went through this with Westchester Medical and with, you know, being put in an ambulance and then a helicopter that I wasn't expecting. And it was a nightmare, particularly the ambulance and particularly the, you know, the one that Westchester called. And it's just so challenging. So, you know, for that reason, I feel very strongly, and for all the other reasons mentioned. And then the other thing I'll just add is, you know, Eve, you know, gave a shout out to Senator Metzger and County Executive Ryan, and you know, always to give credit where credit is due. I also want to recognize Assemblyman Cahill, who did also speak out very strongly about this as well. So, you know, want to recognize Assemblyman Cahill for speaking out on this.
You know, and if I can, I'm pretty passionate about this, if you haven't noticed too. You know, Health Alliance is in the process of remaking their hospital, moving their emergency room to the former Benedictine campus, and using Broadway campus to become a medical facility as well. It actually, there is no reason between the two hospitals, but they cannot provide 60 beds, 65 beds total, I think it is. I mean, it's just, there's no justification. I can't see a justification either financially or morally for an action such as this. I'm definitely.
Well, this is also some of our most vulnerable population. And so to not serve them is just wrong. So we have to move this forward.
What I think is important though, and I didn't notice any language in this resolution, but a financial evaluation as part of any plan for the county to reacquire mental health services, I think would be important. I think we all realize that the direction we decide to go in would no doubt be with a substantial price tag. You know, if you're going to reacquire mental health services here in the county, especially if you can't do it in house and you're looking at new hires in order to do so, you know, it will come with a cost. And I think that's something that should be addressed, you know, in any plan that they come up with. So
I
just didn't notice it. And if anything, I thought that including that language, you know, that the fiscal aspect of this is equally important, you know, perhaps in a resolved, I think would be something that we should consider.
I'll be happy if you want to make suggestions. I'll just say that I intentionally kept it vague.
Sure.
That I just wanted them to start the work, because we have been talking. I mean, I haven't been on the legislature, but I know that people on the legislature, people in the community have been talking about, we need to just start the conversation about what we need to do. And so obviously that is going to be an important element. It may be that several things still also remain privatized, but that there needs some kind of coordination of effort. But you know, one way or another, it we just need to start. And then then of course, what the cost would be to the county, and which ones are recoverable from the state, and you know, that's totally important. I just wanted the conversation to start.
Sure.
Craig, do you mind? Oh, it looks like Pat wants to jump in.
Yeah, sure, Pat.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for letting me crash. I want to jump in. It's actually the first time I've ever joined a committee meeting. Sorry to hijack for a second, but I obviously, I didn't catch the whole thing. I just came in for this part, but I agree with, I agree with what everybody said, particularly about the Health Alliance departure. I do want to, in the spirit of just being candid, raise some concerns or questions about the second half of the resolution, because the concern I have is just that I'm open to the discussion, as you said, Eve. I think we have to have it, especially in light of the potential Health Alliance piece. But I think introducing the discussion in this way might set expectations that are unfair to the public in terms of our ability to frankly do something like that right now. I mean, the scope of what we'd be talking about from a budgetary perspective is, I mean, I don't know because I haven't done the analysis, but it would be tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions a year between, I mean, we'd have to build our own facilities, hire staff, build that whole capacity. I just don't know. Without some more specificity, I'd have real concern about introducing the concept and setting an expectation that the county, to just be totally blunt, is even in a position to take things back over right now when we have a potential $35 million hole. So I don't mean to be a naysayer, because I've called out these issues too. I want us to work productively together and not set an expectation with the public through a resolution that we can't deliver on. So I did think it was important to raise that now through the committee. And I'm committed to having the discussion. We can make our staff available, myself available. And we've been engaging. I had a really good call. Sorry, Eve, I'll be done in a second. I had a really good call with Mike Israel this morning, actually, the WMC CEO, to raise the concerns. And I think coming out of that, regardless of whatever happens from their side, we obviously need to take more ownership of this and not count on others as much to do it, and wrap our arms around the whole continuum of care from inpatient to outpatient and all the other pieces that go into it. So I'm committed to that. I guess what I'd ask is that if we're going to introduce such a pretty big idea, and I love big ideas, but that there needs to be a little more analysis into it, particularly on the cost side. And then just, I'd want to hear from you guys the expectation of what you mean by county, what was the term?
Service.
County delivered. So which services do we provide? At what cost? Would we build physical space? Are these county employees? Are we contracting out? And how responsible is that given our current budgetary situation, which is an absolute disaster right now? So I'll stop there. I appreciate you letting me join and just raise that.
May I respond, Craig?
Well, the good thing about this resolution, it's basically, it's memorializing in nature, so it's non-binding. I think it just opens, starts the conversation. Right, correct, Eve?
Talking about, and also talking, beginning the conversation is essentially free. I mean, I could have gone a little farther and suggested a task force, but I feel like we're all overwhelmed with task forces right now. I just think that what this is going to look like, we don't know. This resolution is not saying that the county is taking on all mental health services that are currently privatized. This says that we should start the conversation about what is feasible and what is reasonable. And to bring back to what Legislator Bruno said, or maybe it was Lopez, I can't remember, is not until we do those steps could we even understand what kinds of costs would be there. It may turn out that there's minimal county provided services is the decision, or it may be some kind of oversight committee to what's privatized. Who knows what it looks like? So then we can't know how much it's gonna cost. All I'm asking is that the conversation started, and I thought that it'd be, I was trying to rein back on just asking for yet another task force. That might be what we have to do, is form an actual group, but I just wanted to be a little softer on that, but that may need to be the direction, and that could be its own resolution. But I just thought if this conversation started, then we could figure out what the best path forward is.
Al.
I want to just reiterate what Eve just said. She's absolutely right. I think we need to have the conversation. And while it may not have to be a full takeover, I think there's all kinds of in between privatizing and full county takeovers, you know, co-oping it, contracting out. But the conversation, I really believe, after what just took place, needs to happen. I think, I'm actually more for task force than I think Eve even is, because we don't know what we don't know. And the only way we're going to learn anything is if we actually look into it. I mean, that's how you start. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. So I think looking into it and starting that conversation is a really good thing to do. Thank you, Eve, for writing this. I think it's spot on.
Craig, do you mind if I just add in?
Sure, go ahead, Mark. Yep.
My only question is, has this gone through legislative council? I know the county attorney hasn't looked at it. I just get worried about language in a resolve that says that the policymaking body of the county government calls on the executive to begin the process of, you know, developing a plan to establish mental health as a county delivered service. I get what maybe the intention behind the resolution was, and I think it's a great intention. I just worry of, you know, unless council has looked at it, what this really begins.
Good.
Yeah, and I want to build on that. I think we are all on the same page here, but it's more of a style versus substance question, which is just that same flag that I just think it's important that if we want to have a discussion, I'm saying to you all right now and joining the meeting to say we're happy to have that discussion. And by your own admission, the resolution isn't binding. So I guess if the goal is to broker the discussion, then we're happy to do that. And if anyone had reached out to ask, I would have been happy to do that without a resolution. So I'd just as soon do that and make the resolution about something that's actually achievable, so that we're setting expectations to the public that we can deliver on collectively, rather than, I know how complex this is, and you all do too, but to introduce a county delivered approach as the starting point to the public face of this, I'm just very concerned that we're never going to be able to meet that. Or if we did, it would be, I mean, it would probably add, 20% to our annual budget to do. There's a reason, whether we agree with it or not, there's a reason that hospital systems don't want to do this work. It's because the reimbursement rates are so pathetically low that it's highly unprofitable to do. So I think the taxpayers have a right to understand all those components to this, and that I don't think this resolution, as it's stated, fairly portrays all the pros and cons or the trade-offs that would come with this from a budget and ultimately tax burden perspective. Because I have no idea how we'd raise the revenue to do this.
So I'll just reiterate that this is a memorializing resolution, and this is the mechanism that the legislature can say use to inform the executive that this is something that's important to us. And as a memorializing resolution, this is our communication tool. And I appreciate that you're open to do it, so it shouldn't be a problem. But that's what we're asking, is that the conversation start. And I appreciate that you're willing to start those conversations. And this is just letting the public know that we care, and letting the public know that we're taking it seriously, and also letting the public know we're not going to just let it slip by. If we vote for this, we're going to make sure these conversations really do start, and that's what our job is.
My proposal, I get that. My proposal would be that it sounds like the majority of the concern is about the first half of this resolution. That sounds like where there's consensus and unity with all of us, from our state legislators to me to us all. It's the second half would be my request, that be either delayed or considered more in depth and not attached to another issue that where there is consensus. Because I feel that if asked about this, we'd have to provide some sense of the cost. And then I think once that came to light, there would be much less support for it. And so I guess in some ways it's maybe even just asking you all to consider separating them, because there really are separate issues. And I think they'll even get conflated in people's mind that, for example, we would somehow be able to take on these 60 beds, for example, which there's just absolutely no way we could do in any time under 5 years type of a thing at the soonest. And I, again, with a huge tax increase. So if, I guess my point to you all is just being candid, if asked about the second half of this, I would have to say that I have serious concerns about the county taking this on. And once you put it out in the public in a resolution, I'll probably get asked about it. And I'd rather us be aligned rather than not.
I hear you. I guess I, what I recognize is that it could be read in two ways. It could be read that the county is delivering some mental health service, or it could be read that the county is delivering all mental health service. The intention wasn't that the county was going to be responsible for 100%. I'm happy. I want to keep that second resolve because I think this conversation is important, but I'm happy to work with Peter and other sponsors on how we can clarify that sentence so that it's not suggesting that we think the county should do 100% of the mental health, because that wasn't the intent.
Yeah, I think it comes across that way.
I see that. I can see how you can read it that way. Especially, I mean, since that wasn't my intent, I didn't read it that way, but now that you mention it, so Peter and I will sit together and anyone else who wants to, and just tweak it enough so that it's clear that we're not suggesting that 100% of mental health services in the county are solely delivered by the county. I wouldn't support that. I work for an organization that delivers mental health services.
Well, in that case, then we're already, then there's nothing, I mean, we already are delivering mental health services.
We'll change the words to match our intent, which is that we want the conversation about what we need to do better. And we'll get, you'll see how we change it.
Sure. I want to see this as an opportunity. You know, it's like, here's a chance that we can actually start this conversation, which needs to happen. Let's think creatively about it. I think that's what Eve has in mind anyway. Like, let's figure out, is there some interesting partnership that can happen, or something way out of the box that we haven't even thought about, but we have to get to the table and start actually talking about how this can get resolved. So I agree. I think we should go back. We'll tweak the language. But I do feel like we need to move this forward at this point.
If we're going to go back and tweak the language, then perhaps we should hold off on it until you have an opportunity to get the language right. And perhaps, you know, I could work with you as well to address my fiscal concerns and what type of language should be included in, you know, at the very least a resolve that would address those issues, or at least bring to light the possible, you know, fiscal impact of not being able to do this in-house could cost the county by having additional hires.
You can, or we could suggest the change on the floor. I mean, you know, it would be preferable if you're supportive of where we're going and you understand the intent of this memorializing resolution.
No, I understand that, but I also don't see the rush in moving forward. And it's not, if we hold it off for a month and get it right, then, you know, what's another 4 weeks instead of moving forward and doing it on the floor?
I think I'm going to disagree with that. I actually think that there is an urgency to get this
An urgency for moving. But it is a non-binding memorializer resolution. Yeah, so it's not necessarily going to move anything but the conversation forward. But don't you want to have you know, other input, or get the language right? Because from what I get in this discussion is that, yeah, there's some things that you will consider changing or clarifying. So to me, I would be more comfortable, you know, let's hold it off for a month. Let's get the language right. And that way we're all on the same page. And maybe during that time we can address the issues both that Pat brought up and you know, that I brought up from a fiscal standpoint.
Again, the intent is not necessarily going to change even if the language is clarified to not be misconstrued. So I would hope that you would vote on it, but that's my opinion.
I also feel like there's timeliness going on right now. There's a lot of people kind of jumping on this, and I don't want to feel like we're kind of left behind in this. And I know that might sound strange, but I do feel like there is a there's an urgency that the public is seeing right now. And I think if we're a whole month behind, they're going to say, where was the legislature on this?
I think since it is, honestly, I think it's, since it is a memorializing resolution, I understand where you're coming from. But I think the one word that, that concerns everybody is the county delivering, or two words, delivering the mental health services. And I think those are the only two words that would probably be changed that I could see from what I read in it.
Right. And we have 15 days before session, so we have plenty of time.
Yeah, so we can tweak it before then. I mean, I don't see why that should take that long. We can still get it. If we can still get it as a late late resolution to the.
I don't think it's going to qualify as a late resolution, being that it's a more memorializing resolution. So I don't. Yeah, but I don't think that.
Peter's right.
If Vicky's still on, I don't know if she can speak to that. What would qualify for a late resolution? I just don't believe a memorialized.
Not a late resolution, but it can be amended on the floor. It can be amended here. Those are your options, really, or to postpone it.
I mean, if you just, Executive, Ryan, Pat, the words that were concerning you were the same ones where it says the county will deliver mental health. Is that what it is?
I mean, in a perfect world, the concern I had is conflating the two issues into one resolution. I hear you, Legislator Criswell, on the urgency, particularly around raising concern to Health Alliance pulling the rug out from under us at a time when all these services are needed even more than they have been in a long time. I think the urgency on a county delivered healthcare, that's a very weighty issue that we'd have to, to everyone's point, take a lot more time on. So I guess, not that I have a vote in this, obviously, but mine would be to move urgently on the first half and then put more thought into the second piece. And I'll commit to you all, either me and or my staff sitting or whatever it takes to have that fulsome discussion and consider all the, you know, the specific pieces of what we deliver, cost, timing, and other impacts that would go with it.
And for me personally, like considering, the concerns that were raised, I'm not somebody that likes to rush things, especially, I go back to that it's memorializing in nature. It's non-binding, and it's not, in my opinion, that time sensitive. Of course, it's a hot issue at the moment. But I think in order to do this right and have, an inclusive conversation and get people's input, I would be comfortable holding off for a month, working on the language, tweaking it a bit, and bringing it back in July. So,
Craig?
Yes.
So I'd like to propose, with Legislator Criswell's permission, to change the end of the last sentence to begin the process of developing a plan to how best deliver mental health care in our county. So I'd like to strike to reestablish mental health care as a county delivered service, strike that out, and change it to how best deliver mental health care in our county.
Will you make an amendment to the title as well? Because the last little bit of the title still says it reestablish mental health care as a county delivery.
Yes.
So
wait, let me take a second to think about it while you talk about the first thing.
If that's a motion right now to amend, I second it.
Your discussion on the amendment?
Just as Eve can't make the motion.
Right, I'm not making the
motion. Right.
Can I?
Yeah, I'll sure. Make that motion. Yeah, anybody can make it. Yeah, other than Eve.
I'll make the motion to amend the second half of the resolution to the words that Eve has come up with.
I'll second.
Okay. Do you want the language for the title? So I would suggest, and someone else make the motion, so strike to reestablish mental health care as a county delivered service, to and change it to begin the discussion of the trajectory of mental health care in our county.
I'll make that motion for that amendment to the title and to adding to the first motion I made earlier.
I think there was a motion on the floor.
Yeah, I think Al can just take that as a friendly onto his motion.
Yeah, just add that to the first part, to the original motion.
Can I ask a quick question? Are you calling on the county executive to begin the conversation, or are you beginning the conversation?
Sounds like we're beginning the conversation.
Yeah. The intent was to call on the commissioner of mental health and health to start that process. So calling on the county to begin the discussion of the trajectory of mental health care in our county. Yeah, if you look at the resolve, it's not calling on the executive specifically, it's calling on, well, it does call on the executive in consultation with the county commissioner. Yeah, so I guess it is calling on the executive. I unstrike that strike. It's asking him to take the lead on that. Or his office. Does that sound reasonable, Executive Ryan?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's closer to the intent of where I think most of us are. And I really appreciate your all's willingness to have that discussion.
And how will that work for you in terms of the press? If the press gets hold of it and starts to ask questions about it, do you think the direction is clear, but it's vague enough that it gives you room to say, we're just starting a conversation?
Right, exactly. And I think this is a conversation that I wanted to have as it relates to the 2021 budget anyway, based on what I've heard from so many of you and from all the town halls and everything else, that we knew this was a big challenge for us. And now it's just accelerated by the potential of what, you know, Health Alliance may or may not do, depending on if we can fight them on that one. But yeah, I think that's right, which is we know the current situation doesn't work even pre the 60 beds. And so what's the proper role for county government? What's the proper role for not-for-profit partners? And are there other new, if somebody has a great idea here, I'm all about it.
And who knows who's going to raise their hand all of a sudden, you know, hearing this. So this, again, might be an opportunity. So
yeah, no, and I think it's great.
It starts the conversation.
Exactly. I think that's how this is supposed to work. So I really appreciate it.
Right.
All right, we set with the amendment.
Do we have a second on
that? Right.
Yeah, Laura seconded it.
Okay. Any other discussion on the amendment? All in favor?
Aye.
On the resolution as amended?
Aye.
All in favor? Aye. Very good. I think that's it, right? Is that our last resolution? All right. Any old business, new business to discuss? Hearing none. Motion to adjourn.
So move.
I'll make that motion. Second.
All right. Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Very good. All right. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, everybody.
All right. Stay safe.